السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، والصلاة والسلام الأكملان الأتمان على الركن الأعظم أفضل من تقدم ومن تأخر، وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميامين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار وما لكم من دون الله من أولياء ثم لا تنصرون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: اتقوا الظلم فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected honored scholars, ulama, elders, beloved brothers, when we study Quran, Allah emphatically makes mention in Quran Kareem that it is the collective aim of the forces of kufr and disbelief to extinguish the light of Allah on the face of this earth. And furthermore, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. The plan of Allah is, the agenda of Allah is, He would safeguard His deen, He would protect His deen. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. That even though the kuffar dislike it, even though the polytheists dislike it. And we'd find that when you travel the world, these are the slogans that are being chanted everywhere in the world. That we have no problem with the Muslim. We have no problem with the moderate Muslim. But we have a problem with the radical Muslim. We have a problem with the fundamentalist Muslim. And we have a problem with the terrorist Muslim. Let us define these terminologies. A radical Muslim is that Muslim who reflects the beautiful appearance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever you travel, you perform salah, your women are veiled, you portray yourself as a Muslim. The radical Muslim, the fundamentalist Muslim, is that Muslim who upholds the fundamentals of Islam, no matter where you are. And the terrorist Muslim is that Muslim who echoes the sentiments of jihad, which ought to be inborn in every Muslim. One day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is sitting on the pulpit. When he had taken the reins of the Islamic Empire, he's sitting on the pulpit and he receives a letter. He had dispatched an army to Egypt, and this army was finding it difficult in a battle in Egypt. So they send the letters to Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab. They say that we are asking for reinforcement. Listen to this. He's sitting on the pulpit and he scans the gathering, Sayyidina Umar, and he points to three individuals. He says, these three are the reinforcement. Somebody says, Amirul Mu'mineen, they're asking for reinforcement. You're identifying three. He said, let me tell you, my brothers. He said, these three resemble the life of the Nabi of Allah totally. If I replace this three with 30,000, it would be of no avail. If I replace them with 30,000, it would be of no avail. And let us not, what is happening in the world? You know, there's a lot of despondency that has set into the ummah. I see footage, it makes me cry. My brothers, you see footage, it makes you cry. But before you become a victim of a psychological despondency, which in essence is the object of the media, let us put things into perspective and understand that إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِقَاتًا. The day of Qiyamah will see that justice will prevail. Let us not underestimate the clemency of Allah. What does Allah Ta'ala remind us in Quran? وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah says, not for one moment should you entertain the thought that Allah is unmindful of the atrocities of the evil ones. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ. Whilst they release their missiles, what do they call it? Precision timing. We call it the clemency of Allah. They call it striking targets. We call it the grace and the tolerance of Allah. Let me remind you, my brothers, Allah's clemency knows no bounds. Never mind the respite Allah is giving them today. We learn close to Qiyamah, when Ya'juj and Ma'juj will make their presence on this earth. This is not a time to envy, not a time to look forward to. The challenges of preserving Iman will be immensely great. Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they will kill every living creature on this earth. And thereafter they will direct their arrows to the skies. And they will say, we now want to kill the inhabitants of the skies. Allah's clemency knows no bounds. Allah will return those arrows stained with blood, falsely giving them that hope they have achieved what they wanted to. Let us not become despondent. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. You know the battle of Khandaq. How much do you know Islamic history? There are many that have returned from Hajj. Allah Ta'ala accept the Hajj. Those who have not been, Allah Ta'ala take everyone on this amazing journey of Hajj. I used to have a flash of this, I share it with you. The battle of Khandaq, the fifth most significant battle, rather the third battle in Islam that had taken place in the fifth year after the migration of the Nabi of Allah. The battle of Khandaq, which lasted for more than 20 days. A difficult battle. There was one man amongst the enemy. What was his name? His name was Amr. He stands up before the Nabi of Allah. May you barizuni. Who is ready to take me on? Who is ready to take me on? Ali bin Abi Talib stands up. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, O Nabi of Allah, let me take him on. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ali, ijlis innahu Amr. Ali sat down. This is Amr, whose strength is equal to 40 men. Again he stands up. May you barizuni, who is ready to take me on? Nabi alayhi salam said, who is ready? Ali stands up. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ali sit down. This is Amr, whose strength is equal to 40 men. Again he stands up. Who is ready to take me on amongst the Muslims? Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, O Nabi of Allah, this man is now provoking me. Grant me permission. Nabi alayhi salam said, Ali, go ahead. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mounts onto his horse. He mounts onto his horse. This Amr looks at Ali. He said, what is your name? He said, my name is Ali. Are you the son of Abd Manaf? He says, no, I'm the son of Abu Talib. He says, Ali, I will finish you up. Ali looks at him and he said, I'm thirsty for your blood. I am thirsty for your blood. فَنَزَّلَ مِنْ خَيْلِهِ كَأَنَّهُ شُعْلَةُ نَارٍ. Whilst thousands die in Palestine and we wonder where is the help of Allah coming. My brothers, go to our masajid. How many musallis we find at the time of Fajr? Log kehte hai ke mera nabi, lekin parte hai namaz log kabhi kabhi. People say, my nabi. It's a sad reality. It pains the heart. Pains the heart. I was now on Hajj. I met one brother going on Hajj. He comes to me on the way back. He said, Molana, I said, don't confess to me, turn to the Almighty Allah. He said, I need to share something with you. He said, Allah brought me on this journey of Hajj. For the past 5 weeks, I read one Fajr Salah with Jamaat. One Fajr Salah with Jamaat. Where is the Ummah today? Where is the Ummah today? Log kehte hai ke mera Nabi. Lekin parte hai namaz log kabhi kabhi. People say, my Nabi. But we read Salah occasionally. We need to reconnect with the house of Allah. And just to digress for 2 minutes. I mentioned this on various platforms, my brothers. What we have in this country, you will never find this in most countries across the globe. When the scholars of yesteryear, when they came to this country, they planted those seeds that today we are seeing the fruits of that today. The question is, what seeds would you and I plant that when we are dead and gone, the next generation to come, they will benefit from the seeds that you and I had planted. Think about it. I mean, we travel, we come to Durban. I mean, how many musallas, how many masajid? I've traveled to countries across the globe. Salatul Jummah, people travel 30, 40 miles. I mean, you drive the road, you find a Qabristan. You find madaris, makatib. These are forts that insulate our iman, that protect the iman of our children. You know, like in Urdu, they say, Gar ke murghi dal barabar. You know, you eat biryani every day, you eat prawns every day, whether it's halal or makruh, separate issue. It's no new phenomenon. You have it once a month, once a year. You look forward to it. Well, Sajjad Nu'mani, the famous scholar, when he visited South Africa, so he mentioned something. He said people from India, you know, when they came to wherever they went in the world, they took four things with them. Think about it. They took the masjid, they took the madrasa, they took kari kichri and samosas wherever they went in the world. I mean, wherever you go, you'll find masajid. You can travel the length and the breadth, you know, of this country. You'll find masajid, you'll find musallas. What excuse do we have, my brothers? And then you're telling the imam, Imam sahab, read kunut and nazila in fajr. 90% of the ummah is sleeping. And Imam sahab, read kunut and nazila. Well, Sayyid Ahmad Khan sahab, Muhajir Madani used to say, he said, don't curse the ummah. You're asking the imams to read kunut and nazila. Half the ummah is sleeping. Where will the help of Allah come? Where will the help of Allah come? Mul Abul Hassan Ali Nadawi, in the 1960s, when he visited Baytul Muqaddas, what does the Arabic poet say? Abi ablih tar al-aqsa salami. Abi ablih tar al-aqsa salami. Oh my father, you're going to Masjid al-Aqsa. Convey my salams to the Palestinian Ummah and say to them that those who die in the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa, they may be dead in the eyes of the world, but they're alive in the eyes of Allah. I read an article not long ago. I mentioned this many a times. More than 95% of the youth of Palestine have seen the massacre of a near and dear one in front of their eyes. Think about it. Many have been on Hajj. Many of us have been on Umrah. Allah take us again and again. My brothers, the question I ask you is, how many of us have been to Baytul Muqaddas? How many of us have been to Baytul Muqaddas? Study the life of my Nabi. Towards the latter part of his life, he ascended the pulpit. He spoke about the virtue of Masjid al-Aqsa. And he made mention of the dua of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. The three famous duas. One dua was that person who prays and reads salah in that masjid, oh Allah, let him return like the day his mother had given birth to him. My Nabi is standing on the pulpit and he says, Ameen. Ameen, Ameen to the dua of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. Abdullah bin Umar, it is mentioned about him and many sahaba, they used to travel from Makkah, Medina to Baytul Muqaddas, read two rakats of salah, don the ihram. What did my Nabi say? Man ahalla bihajjin aw umratim min masjid al-aqsa ila al-masjid al-haram, wajabat lahu al-jannah. Allahu Akbar, my word. What did my Nabi say? That person who goes to Baytul Muqaddas, you don the ihram, either for Hajj or Umrah, and thereafter you perform Hajj or Umrah, Jannat becomes wajib. My Nabi said, come on Qiyamah's day, I will hold your hands, I will walk you into Jannah. What is the plight of the Palestinian Ummah? We are living in ease and comfort. Take our children, let them see the plight of the Palestinian Ummah. Like one brother told me, he said that Ponana some time back, he said, I bought a new phone for my son, thinking I will surprise him. I come home, I give it to him. Dad, I don't want this. I want the iPhone 16, man. I don't want this, yeah? You give it to someone else. I don't want this. I want the latest. You know, we sit with our kids, and my son complains, my daughter complains. We speak about this, complain about that. Allahu Akbar. What is the plight of the Palestinians? They don't know where the next meal will be coming from. What a world we are living in. You and I go to the beachfront. We walk miles to digest our food. There are many in the world that have to walk miles just to get a plate of food. What a world we are living in. When Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, somebody told him, why don't you smile? He said, how can I smile when Masjid al-Aqsa has not been liberated? That is the plight of the Muslim Ummah. The Firauns of the previous Ummahs, they killed the boys and they left the girls. The Firaun of this Ummah, they're taking the boys and the girls. Open Ibn Majah, I came across a narration. You know Hajjaj bin Yusuf, that notorious bloodshedder. Conservatively, scholars have written, he killed 120,000 people. He killed 120,000 people. Oh, Allahu Akbar. When he died, someone had seen him in a vision and a dream. And they asked him, Hajjaj, ma fa'al Allahu bik? How did you fare before the Almighty Allah? What did he say? Qatalani bi kulli qatilin qataltuhu qatla. in lieu of every unjust killing that I murdered, that I indicated or perpetrated. Allah made me taste the agony of death one time. وَقَتَّلَنِي بِسَعِيدِ بْنِ جُبَيْرٍ سَبْعِينَ قَتْلًا. Allah told him, when you kill Sa'id ibn Jubair, that was my friend, Hajjaj, you wouldn't die once, you'll die 70 times. You'll die 70 times. You know, there is an incident recorded in the Kitabs. There was an elderly woman. Remember, my brothers, this world is not a place of justice and retribution. If this world was a place of justice and retribution, Allah would have never allowed Abdullah bin Ja'far's hands to be severed in Muta. Tilka al-ayyam nudawiluha bayna an-nas. This is the world. Some will be given respite. Some will be given victory. But the day of Qiyamah will see that justice will prevail. So there was this elderly woman living on a farm. And the only source of income that she had was a cow. She used to milk the cow and feed the little children. There was a tyrant ruler at that time passing by with his entourage. As he passes this farm, he snatches this cow from this woman. They roasted the cow. They ate the cow. This woman, naturally, she was perturbed and disturbed. Someone told her, tomorrow that king will be passing by on that bridge. Make known to him your concern. If he hears you out, well and good. If not, that's the condition of a tyrant ruler. This elderly woman, the next day she stands on this bridge. As this tyrant ruler is coming with his entourage, she looks at him and she says, I have one question to ask you. I have one question to ask you. Do you want to settle me on this bridge or do you want to settle me on the bridge of Sirat? You want to settle me on this bridge or you want to settle me on the bridge of Sirat? Ibn Majah, page 291. There is one narration my Nabi mentioned. There was a man by the name of Hisqil in the time of Fir'aun. He had accepted Islam. He believed in Allah. He believed in the Lord of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Allah Rabbul Izzah. His wife also accepted Islam. She was Fir'aun's daughter's servant. Fir'aun's wife, Hisqil's wife, was Fir'aun's daughter's servant. So one day she was busy combing the hair of Fir'aun's daughter. And as the comb falls down, she says, Ta'isa Fir'aun. What a dictator Fir'aun is. What a oppressor Fir'aun is. She looks at this woman. You call my father a dictator? She said, my Lord is Allah, he is your Lord. This woman is brought in front of Fir'aun. Fir'aun looks at her. Mar Rabbuk. أَيَّتُهَا الْخَائِنَةُ. Who is your Lord? She said, I believe in one Allah, he is your Lord. Fir'aun says, in front of me you deny my divinity? She says, I believe in one Allah. I believe in one Allah. You know who was Fir'aun? Bayezid Bustami has written that Fir'aun, what clemency Allah had given him. Not a single day in his life did he ever experience a headache. That was the perpetual affluence that Allah had given him. What happened to Fir'aun? Where did he die? When Abu al-Hassan Ali Nadwi writes, Mata maliku Misra, ba'idan an arshihi, ba'idan an sultanihi, la tabibun yudawihi, wala sadiqun yuwasihi, wala aynun tabakihi. That dies the tyrant, arrogant ruler Fir'aun. He dies in the center of the ocean, far away from his dominion, far away from his kingdom. There is no doctor to treat him. There is no friend to pacify him. There isn't an eye to shed a tear on his debts. That Fir'aun, he calls this woman. He said, who is your Lord? She said, my Lord is Allah, he is your Lord. Fir'aun says, bring iman on me. She said, I believe in Allah. Fir'aun, what does he do? Faqala al-hurras. He calls his guards. And he said, do me a favor, light a fire. I gave you the reference, Ibn Majah, page 291. Light a fire, take this woman and burn this woman alive. But before you burn this woman alive, take her children and burn her children before her eyes. These little children were taken and thrown into this fire. This woman was burnt alive. When my Nabi ascends on the journey of Mi'raj, he comes to a certain place. He said, Ya Jibreel, mahadihi rihu tayyiba. What is this brilliant fragrance I get coming from this grave? Jibreel said, O Nabi of Allah, that is the grave of the slave of Fir'aun, who died whilst giving her life for Allah. Next to her are her children, and next to her is a husband. Decades lapse. When my Nabi's conveyance ascends to the heavens, he gets the brilliant fragrance coming from the grave. My brothers, we need to understand, this dunya is not a place of justice and retribution. The day of Qiyamah will see the justice will prevail. That's on a macro level. Bring him down to a micro level. And I will just terminate on this in these last few minutes that we have. I mean, look at the family unit today. How many of our women are abused? I personally speak to the ulama. How many women are in abused marriages? And then you throw the threat of talaq. You know what? You don't want to stay in a marriage? Go. What did my Nabi say? That man who throws the threat of talaq to his wife, such a man will never smell the fragrance of Jannah. That is somebody else's daughter. How many of our sisters are sitting at home, getting divorced, abused in their marriages? You dare open your tongue, and there's the door. I'll give you talaq. What did my Nabi, we've exited the days of Hajj. My Nabi is standing on Arafah, on Wadi Urna, delivering the farewell sermon. One of the messages the Nabi of Allah had given, O people, fear Allah with regards to the treatment of your wives. Verily you have taken them into your possession through this contract of nikah. It is through this contract of nikah that you have taken that wife of yours into your possession. Be careful as to how you deal with them. Be careful as to how you deal with them. The hadith appears in Muslim. There was one sahabi by the name of Abu Mas'ud al-Badri, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, one day my slave upsetted me. So I picked up my hand to slap him. As I picked up my hand, someone caught my hand from the back. And he said, Ya Abu Mas'ud, lallahu aqdaru alayka minka ala hadha al-ghulam. O Abu Mas'ud, Allah has more authority over you than what you have over the slave of yours. He said, I turned around. The rewrite of Muslim. It was none other than the Nabi of Allah himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was left totally embarrassed. I said, O Nabi of Allah, huwa hurrun li wajhi Allah. I freed the servant of mine for the pleasure of Allah. What did my Nabi tell him? A Badri sahabi, amma law lam taf'al, Abu Mas'ud, just as well you have freed the slave of yours, otherwise the fire of Jahannam would have been waiting for you. You can go to court, fight court cases, deprive the wife of custody of the child, deprive the husband. Today, unfortunately, children are used as pawns. You know, in a marriage, fighting court cases, I personally have dealt with many marital disputes. You know, let us resolve, leave the dirty linen, resolve the disputes internally. I will show him. It's all about the ego. What do they say in English? Drop the E and go. Drop the E and go. Like on a light note, they say one day, this brother receives a call from the hospital. The doctor says, you know what, your mother-in-law is touch and go. So he says, I told the doctor, you know what, don't touch, let her go. So we need to drop the ego. Fighting court battles, spending millions of rands, and then coming back to the table, okay, Molana, let us resolve it internally. That is somebody else's daughter. Treat her with respect. Treat her with dignity. Those that are working for us in our businesses. You know, we speak about oppression on a macro level. Those that are working for us in our homes. Those domestic helpers. How do we deal with them? How do we speak to them? The rewrite appears in Ibn Majah. What did my Nabi say? This is the beauty of Islam. This is the beauty of Islam. How do we deal with them? How do we speak to them? You know, I always say this. You know, at the masjid, sometimes after Fajr, I look outside and I see this elderly woman, you know, walking, perhaps taking one or two taxis and then walking a few kilometers just to get to the place of occupation. And thereafter at 4, 5 p.m., you know, she walks back. How many Muslim brothers are there, Muslim businesses? The day of Eid, it's a joyous occasion. One brother told me, I was going on Hajj. He sends me a message. He said, Molana, I told the boss, can I take off on the day of Eid? He said, you don't come to work, there's the door, don't come back. Don't come back. Is this what Islam teaches us? What did my Nabi say? The rewrite appears in Ibn Majah. Allahu Akbar. He said that often you have servants that are working for you. And they prepare your food. You know, they lay your table. The Nabi of Allah said, allow them to sit on the same table as you and partake of that meal. If you don't want to do that, the words of Ibn Majah, فَإِنْ لَمْ يُجْلِسُ مَعَ فَلْيُنَاوِلْهُ لُقْمَةً أَوْ لُقْمَتَيْنَ أَوْ أُكْلَةً أَوْ أُكْلَتَيْنَ. Prepare a platter of food. Let them eat from that which you eat. Let them drink from that which you drink. Sisters that are listening, coming home with a Louis Vuitton, boasting in front of your domestic helper, the salary that she earns for one entire year, she won't be able to buy, you know, half that handbag. Are you boasting in front of her? Ista'inu ala qada'i hawa'ijikum bil kitman. Fa inna kulladhi na'matin mahsud. What did my Nabi say? This is the formula. Do your matters secretly. Do your matters secretly. Stay under the radar. Stay under the radar. We're living in a country. One brother was mentioning this morning. How much of poverty days in this country? Look at our functions. Look at our functions, my brothers. Think about it. Spending millions of rands. What did my Nabi say? He said, "Sharru ta'ami al-walima." The worst food is the food of the walima. Which walima? It's such a great sunnah. That walima yud'a ilayha may ya'baha. Where you invite Mr. A and B, Mr. X, Y and Z to add a flavor to your gathering. I'm pleased to announce that so and so was present at my daughter's nikah. What did my Nabi say? Invite the friend of Allah. That wealthy man, whether you have a 10-course meal, he leaves out moaning and groaning. That man who is desperate for the plate of food. What did my Nabi say? Invite that man. He will eat of that plate of food and he will make dua for your daughter and your son-in-law. That dua will travel for generations. How we treat people in our homes, in our businesses. We speak about oppression on a broader scale, on a micro level, with our wives, our children. Allahu Akbar, that's a separate topic altogether. How do we treat them? I mean, some of us as parents have become totally inaccessible. How many children I've spoken to? Manana, I can't speak to my dad. Totally. So the other day I was sitting with one father. So I said that, my brother, what grade is your son in? He calls his son, hey, what grade you in? I said, your own son. Come on, man. Own son, give them that quality time. Give your wife that quality time. You've got time for everything else. Treat them with respect. Treat them with, my time is up. Really respected brothers, we see what is happening in Gaza. You know, what is happening in other parts of the Muslim world. Unprecedented. You know, in our time, apart from the COVID period, Masjid al-Aqsa. You know, last week Friday, I received multiple messages, you know, from the ex-ambassador who's living in Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. Unprecedented, just the imam and a few musallis. One brother mentioned this to me, and I leave you with these words. He said, Masjid al-Aqsa is a barometer, and this would be determined by the condition of the iman of Muslims globally. Allah has taken the responsibility of protecting Haramain Sharifain. Masjid al-Aqsa, Allah has left it in the hands of the Muslims. Allah has left it in the hands of the Muslims. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawm hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Allah will not change the condition of any nation until they decide to change themselves. There are many that are sitting here that have returned from Hajj. I beg you in my obligation. We stood on Arafah. We made that vow with Allah. The day we landed, the next morning Fajr, how many of us made it to the masjid for Salatul Fajr? Attach ourselves to the masjid. We are fortunate, we have scholars and ulama. What did my Nabi say? He said, enjoy living in this world when four people exist. بِعِلْمِ الْعُلَمَا وَبِعَدْلِ الْأُمَرَا وَبِسَخَوَةِ الْأَغْنِيَا وَبِدُعَاءِ الْفُقَرَا. When there are scholars and learned ulama around. Hassan Basri used to say, لَوْلَ الْعُلَمَا لَحَلَكَ الْجُهَلَا. If there are no scholars around, there are no ulama around, the masses will go astray. The masses will go astray. It will come to a point of crisis because of the lack of competent scholars and ulama. Ignorant people will take up positions of leadership and they will lead the masses astray. Appreciate what we have in this country. Ilmil ulama, adlil umara. If there is justice, there is fairness and there is equality in this world. Enjoy living in this world. What did my Nabi say? When the tables turn, when there are no ulama, there is no justice and fairness in the world, there are no wealthy, pious people, and there is no generous, poor people in this world, then you're better off beneath the ground than above the ground. فَبَطْنُ الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ زَهْرِهَا. You're better off beneath the ground than above the ground. We are living in trying times. Allah Ta'ala, you know, make it easy for those that are suffering, you know, on this blessed day of Jumu'ah. We ask Allah, especially in Gaza, you know, in the land of Palestine. And I beg you, respected brothers, I mentioned this in the talk today, that, you know, we speak about going to Mauritius and going to London and America and the most exotic destinations on the globe. Be honest, how many of us have been to Baytul Muqaddas? Allah Ta'ala, take us all to Baytul Muqaddas. Allah Ta'ala, you know, return Masjid al-Aqsa, that in our lifetime we could enter into a liberated Baytul Muqaddas. Wa ma alayna.